ladies and gentlemen.
My fellow citizens, there is a man from another
night. You're going to Sherlock Holmes. And there will be a special deal inside.
You better believe in yourself. Come on.
And we will always have your back.
We have a liftoff.
Welcome to Life Lab Notes, where we review and compare our notes about life, what we have in common, what makes humans tick, and how we can keep from blowing up the lab. Back in 1921, 16-year-old Margaret Gorman of Washington, D.C. was crowned the very first Miss America. She was awarded $100. There are several ways to calculate the relative value of $100 in 1921 compared to, say, 1983. But if you think about it, there are several ways to figure the relative value of everything. I was a junior at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo and needed money. So when I saw a posting for the $1,500 first prize offered by the San Luis Obispo beauty pageant, I signed up, thinking only of the potential prize money that would help pay for another trimester back in 1983. I attended the first few pageant meetings with the other dozen contestants, and we listened to the requirements, choosing a talent, the swimsuit competition, the interview, the heels, the makeup, the hair, the group dance. I distinctly remember that it was during the makeup application segment at the third meeting that I got that feeling in my gut that this was not for me. I sat through the meeting, deciding that I would withdraw after the other girls left. At the end of the meeting, I went up to one of the pageant organizers and asked if we could talk in private. She took me into a broom closet type room, like a janitor's storage space. It was cramped and dark, and I remember we were standing between stacks of boxes. I told the organizer that I would like to withdraw from the pageant. She asked why, and all I could say was that this experience isn't me. She proceeded to tell me, rather vehemently, that I would win. Hands down, I would win. Think about the $1,500, she said, and how much that money would help with my expenses. I had no idea at that time in my life that the organizer was barely hanging on to a show and clinging to every swimsuited body she could get. I felt cornered in the dark, in the broom closet, and I believed her that I would win the money. So I stayed in. I went to all of the meetings. I bought the swimsuit and the heels, both from the bargain rack because, after all, I didn't have spare money. I chose a song to sing for my talent, the music in the mirror from a chorus line. I liked the song okay, but I'm not a solo singer or a dancer. I just liked it. I made a jumpsuit-type outfit from bargain fabric and fashioned a belt out of a weird piece of braided cording that I got from I don't know where. I feel like I found it on campus somewhere, like on the ground or something. I was delighted that it matched my bargain fabric perfectly, and I think the most fun I had during the entire experience was melting the ends of the cord so that it didn't fray. My hair was awkward, if you judge it by typical beauty pageant standards, and when the organizers asked me to artificially enhance my bust line, I resisted, and the clenching began. Even with the awkwardness and the resistance and the clenching, I continued, you know, for the big money. As the pageant day drew near, we learned the walk, we learned the group dance, we practiced saying our name and our major into the microphone, and we were briefed on possible interview questions. I was aligned with nothing, absolutely nothing, that this pageant was about, and I refused to stuff my bra. Because I was not aware, at that time, that the resistance and clenchiness were signs to pull out, I was dealt a stronger signal. 3 days before the pageant, I lost my voice. I wasn't sick, but my voice was gone. All I could muster was a croak. I started doing the steaming and the resting and everything else that was advised. But nothing changed. I finally ended up at the doctor's office for a cortisone shot in the neck, which helped maybe 50%. I barely had half a voice, and yet I stayed in, all for the big money. I was miserable and angry, and my appearance reflected it. No light in my skin or my eyes or my anything. Dim. To add to my discomfort, each of the contestants was assigned a pageant mom. These were women who signed up to pamper us the night before the pageant. The only thing I wanted to do at this point was sleep in my own bed, but I was not allowed to do that. My pageant mom wanted a different experience, I'm sure, than the one I provided. And the more she tried to comfort me, the more I resisted. She gave me a delicate necklace that I was sure would bust with one turn of my strong, sturdy neck. She wanted to tuck me into the fluffy white princess bed in her home that night and share her wisdom with me. She wanted to make me her pet for the night, and I just wanted to be alone with my croaking, spiritless self. The next morning, pageant day, my pageant mom fixed me a wonderful breakfast. And I did my best to show some appreciation and brightness, but it was strained. That afternoon, I bombed the interview section, almost intentionally. Like they had all made me do this, and I would show them. The panel could hear my speaking voice was compromised and asked if I would be able to sing that night. I said,
I hope so.
They asked what I would do if my voice wasn't up to par, and I pluckily answered,
I guess I just won't sing.
Like this was all their fault. I suppose I could have nobly said that I would mime the song or recite it or dance or something like that, but I had checked out. At the end of the interview, the panel randomly tossed out a name and asked me if I was familiar with it. When I answered no, they told me it was the name of one of the interviewers who would introduce themselves a scant 10 minutes earlier. The pageant event, in a humiliating nutshell, was horrific. I barked out my name at the microphone and forgot what my major was. The talent section was all struggle and effort and raspy and muscular. Years later, my mom, my real mom, would describe it as macabre. Needless to say, I didn't win the big money, the medium money, or even the tiny money. I lost money. My bargain swimsuit and heels and homemade talent costume cost me a week's wages from Swenson's ice cream parlor. The only thing that didn't cost anything was the weird braided cord thing I found on campus or on the street or somewhere that would have made the pageant judges and my pageant mom cringe. I don't remember the name of the woman who won and went on to the Miss California pageant. She was 5'11 and had a great swimsuit body and the kind of hair that you see in the pageants. Her talent was a dancey mime kind of thing to the song I Got No Strings from Pinocchio. She did the splits. She was probably just fine in her interview. I remember that she was nice. For me, the beauty of this pageant happened the next morning. I got out of bed, went downstairs and greeted my roommates in full voice. All of my voice was back. The real me, my soul, spirit, gut instinct me, whatever you want to call it, did not want to participate in the pageant, and so it didn't. This was a life lesson for me. Listen to your gut. And when I think about it, I did listen to my gut, but in a dark little broom closet off to the side somewhere, I got distracted by the big money and decided that somebody else knew me better than I did. Okay, so now I'm revising my life lesson from just a few moments ago to this. Listen to your gut and don't get distracted. And here's a further revision, Justin. This story used to make me cringe as I remembered it. I would feel myself still trying to make it the pageant's fault that I had to go through all of it. I made fun of the woman who won when she did nothing to me. I rolled my eyes when I came to my pageant mom, and I resented the interviewers and their tricky name question. But I don't feel any of that anymore. If I had a chance to walk up to that microphone today, I would say, in full voice, best wishes, woman who wants.